Victor, Tom, Codename, Robot. We are calculating our descent into your speaker station. Stand by.
Explorers, welcome back to the Starfield Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. Unfortunately, Dave is dealing with a toddler who's under the weather tonight, so he's not able to join us. But I am here with some of our patrons, and we are wrapping up this first run of the show. I announced this last week, but we're getting to a point where we've gone through most of the important lore stuff, most of the really cornerstone bits of information about Starfield, and we're going to take a break. We're going to put the show on hiatus, and don't worry, we'll be back because more information about the DLC is going to drop probably sometime over the summer, and then we're going to get the actual DLC, and we're going to get mod stuff added to the game. There's going to be lots of new updates, but it's a little ways off. So just to remind everybody, we're taking a little bit of a break, but we'll be back later. So don't worry. And if this is your first time tuning in, there's lots of episodes. You can go through all the old episodes, but don't worry, we'll be back. But joining me to wrap up this initial run of the show, we have some of our patrons. Nova is joining us again. Nova, welcome back to the show. How's it going?
It's going decently, Tom. I'm always glad to be here. I'm kind of sad to hear the show is going to take a hiatus, but, you know, everything that's good must come to an end eventually, or at least be put on pause and rebooted for next season.
Yeah. Think of it as a season. This is the first season, and we're just going to take a little break, and we'll come back with another season. And in the meantime, if you're a fan of Bethesda stuff, Fallout's getting a lot of attention right now. Did you see the stats? They broke over 1 million players and 76 across all platforms and over 5 million across all Fallout games in one day, like yesterday. That's insane. That's huge.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. And that other voice is Nordic Mike, who's joining us for the first time, first and last time, at least, yep, for the season one. Nordic Mike, welcome to the show. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Yeah, I'm just happy to be here for the season finale.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you are here. And both of you are joining me. And I thought it would be a wonderful place for us to leave off this first season with our thoughts about the future of Starfield. Where do we think it's going? What are our expectations for updates in the future, for future DLC, for future story expansions, for some of the lore bits that we are speculating about, but we don't know a whole lot about? Where do we think that's going to go? What were the things that maybe you were hoping were going to be in the game and just haven't quite got there yet, so you hope they might add them in the future? This conversation can kind of go everywhere and anywhere. Is there something that either of you, Mike, Nordic Mike, this is your first time on the show. Is there something specific that you would like to address?
I mean, mostly like some of the things that I would like to hopefully address in the near future would just be like quality of life things. Like, I mean, just watching like the different kind of mods that are popping up for PC already. Like just the little things that are doing just to make the game like a little bit more like manageable or like visually more pleasing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, you know, other than that, like as far as like the story and lore goes, like, I mean, I would love to see, you know, more depth on the Valrune for sure.
Yeah,
because that's something I just want to dive deep into. Like, it's just this mystery that you can't even find them really. So it's like, that's really what I want to get to next. You know, hopefully Shatter Space will be, you know, very deep into that.
House Varun. Yeah, I think that's the big expectation for that first DLC, is that that's going to continue the story. It's going to kind of flesh out the bits that we don't really understand about them yet. And my assumption is that they're going to be a much more important faction than we would have assumed early on. And that's part of why they're being given their own DLC. I feel like you have to look backward. You have to look at these kinds of things and then imagine in your head how they will appear, say, 5-10 years from now. So when you think about the Elder Scrolls games or the Fallout games, when those games came out, they didn't have all the DLC right away. They launched over periods of time. But looking back on them, so many people have discovered those games after the initial launch period of the games, and they came in with like the Game of the Year edition, and they got all the DLCs with it. And so the DLCs don't really feel like a separate part. They just feel like part of the core gameplay at that point. It's just more stuff you do while you're already playing the game. Nova, do you feel like that when you look back on like Fallout and Skyrim, for example, stuff like that?
I really can't. No, like the DLCs for at least the Fallout games, I haven't played much of the Skyrim DLCs. I haven't played Skyrim for like a year or
but
so.
But you're a big Fallout guy, so you've played through all the Fallout stuff.
Yeah, I'm a huge Fallout fan, and when I am playing Fallout, I can have a very distinct difference between the DLCs and the actual game, mostly because I played the games when they came out, or I played the base game through multiple times, and then I downloaded DLCs, and then I added mods on top of those afterwards. And so, like, the base game has its own distinct feel to it, and the DLCs are not something that I really do think are, like, at least to me, the way that like, whenever I think of the game, I'm like, okay, this is the game, and then on top of the game, here's also, like, Honest Hearts or Lonesome Road.
Sure.
And I can, and like, just there's completely distinct, separate aspects of the game, but they're not...
But that's because you, like I was explaining, you played the game when it launched, and then had to wait for those DLCs. So you, in your head, there's that very big distinction between, like, this is the core game, and I play through it a few times. Oh, now we get extra content, and it feels, obviously, every DLC feels a little bit different from the main stuff, right? Like, you know,
and it has to, otherwise, otherwise people are going to be, well, this is more of the same stuff. No, we want something that's granted of interest, but like,
if you're one of the people, let me jump in real quick. If you're one of those people who are jumping into Fallout 4 for the first time, even though the game is now almost a decade old, and it has all the DLC in it, you're going to have the automaton stuff in there already. So once you hit a certain level, you'll start seeing that stuff, and it'll feel like it's automatically part of the original game. And you won't necessarily know where the line is between, was this in the core game, or was this added in later?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. That starts to get fuzzy for
And that's exactly where I was going, because like I said in the pre-show, my stepbrother finally decided to play the Fallout games, and like, he asked me which DLC to get. I said just get the season pass, you'll like most of them, and Fallout 4 and the other ones that you won't like, probably because of the settlement stuff. He doesn't really like building stuff, he likes to destroy things. I'm like, you'll eventually find a use for that, just you might as well get the season pass, because you can figure it out this down the road what you want to do with it. But he was asking me a couple questions about, okay, well, these raiders, like, what are they? Like, he's talking about the Rust Devils, I think. From the Automaton DLC. And I was like, oh, well, they're actually a DLC. And he's like, that's pretty cool, because my stepbrother is a mechanic, and he's like, it was looking at all their armor and how it's just all robots. He's like, that's pretty weird for post-nuclear society. I don't really understand it. I'm like, yeah, just play the Automaton DLC eventually and you understand, okay?
Yeah, just keep playing it. Just keep paying attention to the stories. You'll get through it. Listen to some podcasts if you need to. Nudge, nudge.
I tried to tune on your podcast once or twice, and because... He says, oh, yeah, I listen to Joe Rogan Experience and all this other stuff while I'm working. I'm like, well, here's another one for you if you want to try it, because you apparently have 14-hour days or so, you claim.
Yeah. And I'm only a little less crazy than Joe Rogan.
Still Florida.
I'm still from Florida. That's true. Nordic, Mike, do you feel like you have the played it when everything came out experience, or do you feel like you have the, like, got in those games later experience? Like, what other Bethesda games have you played, and how did that work for you?
Mostly I've always played the Fallout series, started with Fallout 3 and then been playing them since. But, I mean, I just recently started playing Fallout 4 again about a few months back, and I started it over, and I haven't played any of the DLCs for that one. So I went ahead and got those. I started with Far Harbor. I've almost completed everything there, but it's just new to me, even though I played Fallout 4 when it first came out, you know?
Right.
And as you said about the whole, what was the other one?
Automaton?
Automaton.
Automaton? Is that the way to pronounce it? Yes, probably.
Automaton, yeah.
I've always thought it was like automaton or whatever. Or something like that.
But those words are always
differently, because I come over my tongue. I'm saying, like, automaton.
Yeah, I do the same thing. But I'm actually kind of like excited to see how they already have that kind of like meshed into the game once I reach that level with this new character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Far Harbor is clearly a different location on the map, but that doesn't mean that it didn't add things to the game that you may discover in other locations, like weapons or armor or whatever, right? Or even characters that weren't necessarily in the original that relate to Far Harbor, but aren't necessarily in Far Harbor. You know, like there's sometimes there's updates like that. Like there's an NPC that is wandering around the wasteland that mentions something about Far Harbor that wasn't there until the Far Harbor DLC is loaded into your game, right? Or the automaton stuff with robots walking around and all the upgrades you have for robots and things like that. If you load up all the DLC at the same time, or you just load up the game with all the DLC at the same time, it's a different experience. So to take that back to Starfield, we're going to have the experience of playing the base game, getting the next DLC, having a very clear understanding, having put a lot of hours in the original game, of what is different and what isn't, what kinds of new things did they add in, maybe they updated. I mean, like one of the places where Starfield is a little bit lacking is in the melee weapons and being able to customize, or the diversity of melee weapons, the usefulness in combat, things like that. So what if that's something that's a part of the next DLC where they've improved it, right? Somebody coming from in the future playing the games, just downloading all the DLC all at the same time with the base game, isn't going to know that original experience of what it was like before that. So back to my point, you kind of have to build these things out knowing that people later on are going to get the full story all at once. It's kind of like when you get into a TV show and you're watching it as the TV show goes on. This is the first season. You get through the episodes of the first season. You don't know what's going to happen in the second season. Then you get through the second season. Or if you binge something years later, you just get through the whole show within like a few weeks, and you have a very different experience because there's no gap in time either between episodes or seasons for you to wonder and speculate, or for, you know, theories to form and that kind of thing. So I'm interested in how that's going to affect people and the way they actually interact with the game and you know, what they see. But I'm also interested in the story writing side of it from Bethesda, this idea that such a significant amount of information about House Faerûn just isn't revealed yet. We just don't know. But I have a feeling we're going to see connections across the board with the other factions, or the unity, the space magic, the religions, like how that, it's like there's a big hole right in the middle there where they could just fit something that kind of connects it all together a little bit more. And that might be House Faerûn. Do you think that's a possibility?
I mean, I would definitely say, it would not be surprising if that happened. Like, cause I mean, if, like, they're just the biggest mystery. So like, it'd either be a large part of it or just, honestly, I feel like there's a large part of it. There's not much else to my speculation. Like, I feel like that is the next big piece of the puzzle is House Faerûn.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we're going to get a DLC that takes us to their home planet and we actually get to see the way their society works, the people walking, like a city, people walking around, interacting with each other? Or do you think we're going to get something that still keeps that part hidden, but we see like other locations that they are entrenched in without ever still leaving their home world kind of a mystery?
Yeah, no, I definitely, the explorer inside of me definitely wants to like see their home planet, like for sure. Like, I want to like just go check out everything, survey the whole thing, you know, find whatever, you know, weird creatures they have running around.
Right, right. Do you think we'll get a whole city, another major city like location where we have lots of buildings and people and that kind of stuff?
I feel like that would be a big possibility to have, because I mean, it's either going to be a large like city, or it's going to be some kind of underground like facility type thing where they're like, even if a ship were to pass by that particular planet, mm-hmm. they might not spot the Faerûn because, you know, they're so secretive, probably built underground.
Yeah,
type of,
but it's still like a city, like a big underground city. Yeah. Maybe even, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It might not be, you know, towers or everything, but they just, you know, build downward instead of upwards.
That's true. That could be a possibility. So that if you just scan planets, they might just look barren, but mm-hmm. they're not. Nova, what do you think? Do you think we're going to actually see their home world? And if so, what do you think that is going to be like?
I don't know. Honestly, I've always kind of thought that House Faerûn is more of a like nomadic society where they don't actually have a home world, but they just live on spaceships. And so they have a cluster of spaceships that kind of moves around. That's why nobody's found their home world quite yet.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't know, it's always kind of struck me as that, because like snakes are you know, they move around. Basically, move around a whole lot.
Snakes like to wiggle. Like,
yeah, they like to wiggle around. Yeah, no, like a lot of snakes. Like, I know they make burrows, but they often just abandon the burrows, and so maybe they might settle for a little bit on a planet, but then they will just get up and move to the next place. That's kind of what I think House Varun might be like, and so it would be a completely different societal structure than any of the other factions we have inside the game so far. And I think it would kind of make them stick out a lot more, and I don't think people expect it, and so it has that shock value to it as well. And that would also, like I said before, explain why nobody knows where they actually are, because they're always just traveling around.
Mm-hmm. Do you think go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, you're basically comparing it to like a migratory society.
Migratory?
Yeah. Almost like Native Americans used to do.
Nomadic.
Like all, you know, they had, yeah, there you go, nomadic, where they had like individual, like, you know, tribe groups that moved around, you know, followed food and prey. And then, you know, would also meet up at certain times of the year to, you know,
in certain locations,
like trade goods, right, and things like that, you know, information.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is a possibility. Yeah, yeah. Do you think they have like a mothership?
I would assume so. And they probably call like the, I forget what the technical term is, but like garter snakes will often like get into large groups for the winter and will hibernate together. But I forget what the actual term is. They're probably going to call it that.
Do you think that it's like a main ship that other ships all attach to?
Like a carrier, yeah.
Like a carrier. Maybe. Where they, like, with lots of different, like, docking systems so that different size ships can dock in different parts of it. So depending on how gathered together House Varun is, the mothership expands in size because the other ships just kind of lock into it. And then they disengage and they go about, you know, the galaxy doing what they do, and they come back. That could be really cool to see.
Yeah.
That would be really neat in the engine to see a bunch of ships that are, like, docking with each other and this massive ship in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. And so I guess it wouldn't actually be a ship. It'd be more like an actual space station. So for all we know, they could literally be on the void of space away from all the other planets. And that's why nobody knows where they are.
Right. Or because
like, you don't travel sublight from planet to planet. And so if you're jumping from one system to another solar system, you're not going to see like a giant space station out in the middle of nowhere. You're just going to blitz right past it. And so that would explain, and that would, in my mind, be something that they would do because they are a very secretive organization and they want to be found. We're the best way to hide, where literally nobody's looking because nobody exists there.
Yeah, there's a lot of emptiness in space. Mm-hmm. And if you just put like one space station in the middle of nowhere, you know, multiple light years from anything else. And unless you have those coordinates or the ability to survey every pixel of space in order to find it, you're not going to know where it is. But here's another thought, though. The difference between a spaceship and a space station is simply the ability to move, really. So what if it's just a massive space station that still has a drive in it that allows it to jump from one location to another? It basically could function as both.
Yeah, it could.
Holy crap. Now you're giving me pictures of like, what if the UC pisses off House Varun and all of a sudden you're like, you're in New Atlantis and you look up at the night sky and all of a sudden there's a massive space station that's just all of a sudden in orbit.
It's going to be like on Halo 2, where you get to, what is it, the Delta Halo, I think, in High Charity, and the home fleet appears above the Halo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
that's kind of what I'm imagining of like their potential could be.
Right. Right.
if you decide to make them go to war with each other in the future DLCs or expansions to the game.
Right. Or maybe it's not even they're in conflict yet. Maybe they're invited for some sort of negotiation thing, but they want to showcase how dangerous they could potentially be. And so they just like poof, now they're in orbit. Yeah, and it's like, oh my god, that is the biggest space station we've ever seen. It's bigger than New Atlantis. Star. Yeah, like, okay, maybe we need to take these guys seriously. That could be really cool. Like,
yeah, that's our meter, you know? That's not even a nice one.
Yeah, this is our travel ship. This is our way. This is our summer home. our winter place.
Maybe from the scan information that I've learned about House Vernon, that's kind of what I imagine them to be, because everyone's like, oh, they're so mysterious, nobody knows where they are. And so I'm like, well, that's what comes to mind in my, is that they're not actually planet side.
Do you think the ship is going to look like a snake?
Well, I guess that's a good point.
Maybe. It could be like long and cylindrical.
Yeah, it could be. All right. So, that, I mean, this is all clearly speculation, right? Like,
yeah,
space station, home world, any of that. Do you think that there will be anything about the Unity or the artifacts, or do you think House Varun might have some insight into some of the Starborn, or maybe Starborn who influenced them in the past, or maybe one of their leaders is a Starborn and there's some other thing going on there?
Yeah. So here's one thing I was wondering about is, are the Starborn exclusive to humanity? Like, what about other,
like a dog? You could have a star dog.
No. I'm talking about like other sentient alien races that like might be on like the next arm of the Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah.
And if they have their own, like, because like, what are the odds that all the artifacts are in just simply Orion arm or whatever we're in of the Milky Way galaxy.
Right.
What
like our little neighborhood.
What if each arm has their own set of artifacts? And then the next arm over, like an alien makes contact with you because, you know, you become a Starborn, and then you meet this other, like, I don't know, Zetan Starborn, I guess, just for lack of a better alien.
Right.
and then you start communicating with them, and then it kind of opens up this dialogue and this pathway where you can befriend these aliens in this next neighborhood over, and this next arm over. Or you can be threatening and hostile towards them, and if you're friends with them, you can learn about like their interpretation of their Starborn, and like maybe what they discovered about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really cool idea. I do know that Todd very specifically wanted this to be about humans in space. That this was going to be like humanity in space, and didn't want to get too in the weeds with alien life forms, and like didn't want to go like the Star Trek Mass Effect kind of route of like, oh, there's a bunch of other aliens and now we have to like negotiate with them. I think he wanted the story to be like, it's a big, dark, scary universe out there, and humanity is pushing those boundaries, and we still don't know what's on the edges of those boundaries. So I wouldn't rule out the possibility for that, but I don't expect it yet.
Yeah, I remember something like in that vein of listening to Todd say is about humanity in space, and the hundred horrors that we're going to encounter out there, or we could encounter out there. But but thinking about it though, I'm just going over in my head, like, what are the odds that the artifacts are just right here in human controlled space right now?
Yeah.
Like, that's just one question I had in my mind since I started playing and looking at the lore and watching videos about Starfield is, are they just a regional artifacts? Does that mean that the creators of the Unity, did they spread them out across the entire galaxy,
right?
Yeah, and then have like each their own little segmented areas. So then this race right here can get them, this race right here can get it, this race right here can get
like
it.
Like a progenitor race that already maybe even seeded the other races, or at least understood where they were and kind of set something up for them.
Yeah, that's just something I was thinking about.
Yeah, I think there are a few possibilities for the Unity and Starborn and all of that. I think one is something like that. You've got a progenitor race that leaves this behind, and then the races that grow up behind them, evolve or make their way to the stars or whatever, discover those artifacts, figure out how to use them, and now they're playing in the same sandbox with the progenitor race, or you have a species that is like neighbor races that are finding ways to communicate with other races that are distinctly different and may have accidentally left something behind or purposely left it there. Or you have a situation where there are no other aliens. There is no other intelligent life in the galaxy. It's just humans. And in every version of the multiverse, it's humans. And either a past starfaring human civilization left this there, or somebody jumping from multiple worlds across the multiverse decided to leave the ability for other humans and other versions of this multiverse to be able to access this technology. I think those are probably the main options that like come to mind for me, at least right now. I'm not sure any one of them has more evidence than the others, other than the fact that we haven't seen, or it hasn't been revealed, that the Starborn are a race other than human. Every time we have seen the Starborn reveal who they are, they appear human. But that doesn't even necessarily mean that they are. Maybe they just have the technology to look and communicate with us and make us think that they're human. Like, think about like the when you go get another artifact and a Starborn like warps in, you have to fight them after you get pick up the artifact. You don't unmask them. You blow them up and they turn to stardust.
Yeah.
Those could be aliens who just happen to have humanoid body shapes. Yeah. Or they could be projections of something that are being managed by some intelligence, artificial race, biological race, something else out there. And it's all part of this master plan and this some sort of game that they're playing. Maybe not even game, but just because you're interacting with something doesn't mean it is what it looks like, I guess is my point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So those seem to be the options. Mike, what do you think about all this? Do you think that any of these are more likely?
I just leaned away from like the whole like alien type thing.
Oh, but, come on, be a conspiracy theorist with us for once.
I mean, I just feel like, you know, like it has been done way too many times. I feel like it's just going to be either most likely like humanity, like far into the future, kind of like discovered something eventually, like an element, you know, they combined something, created something.
Right. So like future humans came back in time, or like past humans had an advanced civilization that disappeared and we've now gotten back to that point. Like, I guess you go either direction in time and try to explain it.
I've even gone to rabbit hole on group chat on Xbox with this. Yeah. like complete conspiracy theorists, like just with the weird strings everywhere and all that. But,
right. Like Always Sunny. What's his face on Always Sunny with the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
DeVito, yeah.
Yeah.
But like these, you know, future, like futuristic humans, you know, like maybe like 100,000 years in the future, you know, like spanning across like the mass, the whole Milky Way, discovered this way to make the unity, and then had like an accident, and then these people were the ones that originally started the spread of the Starborn to find all the artifacts, and then it all kind of like trickled down basically like just like a lightning bolt.
Okay. Yeah. So do you think there's some sort of a like actual point to it? Like, was there a goal? Like, it when we come across the artifacts, they look like they are in these what appear to be ancient temples on different planets, and they are still somehow functional through some sort of advanced technology or magic or something that we don't understand, but they seem very ancient and they seem spread out and almost broken apart, almost like there was an original ring that got shattered or something. Now we're talking like Elden Ring stuff, but that's not where I want to go with this.
I've been down that hole too as well.
Yeah.
So in the one mission with the wasn't Terramorph. So it's where you're phasing in and out of two different universes.
Right. Yes. Yes.
In the lab, in the research lab, you're doing that one. I feel like it's something like that. Like when they started when they found the unity in the future, that was originally, you know, sent those pieces throughout time and space. Also, probably took their temples where they had these items and were creating these things. Also, were sent through time and space, and then as they sat there, human evolution came, the grav jump came along, and then that's how it all, you know, it all kind of like these were basically put, they were futuristic, but they were sent back in time, and then it just sat there and just deteriorated over the thousands and thousands of years while humanity was reaching up to the point where we started to discover them.
So you've got it. You've planted a seed in my idea. If we take this step further, okay. So what if there is no multiverse? In the original version of reality, there is reality. Human beings evolve on planet Earth. We develop technology. We reach the stars. We continue advancing for thousands and thousands of years or whatever. We get to a point where we invent the ability to not only travel great distances, but actually mess with time and space. And something goes wrong and that device breaks. And in the breaking of that device, it also fractures reality into a multiverse. And so that original version of reality gets split, and parts of it end up in every, in fact, it itself gets replicated multiple times over into this multiverse. And time is rewound, but the artifacts are broken and splintered and end up in these, you know, all these different places. So the original unity gets kind of like explodes into a multiverse where there are pieces in every version of reality that's almost like a duplication of the original. But because time rewinds, as time advances, each of those realities advances in a slightly different way. Thus, you have the variations that you can come across. But in most of those realities, everything seems very, very similar because there's kind of a general direction of the flow of time and the advances of humanity and those kinds of things. But little changes here and there turn into very different kinds of situations that, you know, eventually you have talking plants and the weird ones that you can find on some of those multi-reality versions. What do you think about that? Yeah, that seems pretty crazy. Yeah.
I feel like you need to get a job at the History Channel. This podcast needs to move there.
Yeah, I should do those shows. Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's how the universe works. It was all one, and it just shattered because of machine
broke. It was all one. Yeah, multiverses weren't a thing, but the technology actually broke reality into a multiverse. I mean, and maybe I've watched too much of season two Loki. Have you guys watched Loki season two? That's got a very multiverse thing going. Yeah. Yeah, this idea of like, you know, the one true timeline with the multiverse and all of that. I don't know.
And then the event starts with little extra branches.
Yeah, yeah. But the branches go back in time at the same time. Yeah. It's not like time was progressing like a tree and then all of a sudden the tree split into all the branches. So you have like the main trunk of the tree and then branches up. Where it explodes on the timeline, it actually goes back down to the roots and then everything splits from the roots up.
Yeah,
that would be the analogy on that one. So you'd end up with a really weird looking tree. All right. Well, hey, tell you what, we're in the middle of the show. We have to go thank our patrons, you guys, and everyone else who has helped support the show for this first season. So let's go do that. And then we'll be back with some more speculation about the future of Starfield. Don't go anywhere. All right, here we are. And I apologize again for Dave not being able to be here. I hope his family is doing well. I hope the little toddler isn't having too many big snot problems or whatever happens with, you know, kids getting sick and all that. Here we are in the middle of the show. Thank you again for all of your support. Patreon.com/StarfieldLorecast. We're not going to be doing episodes from this point until we let everybody know that we're back. So make sure that you stay subscribed to this podcast feed. So when we do drop a new episode, you'll be right there. And don't feel any need to sign up on the Patreon right now, because you can still get some of the rewards. So for example, if you want to get the stickers, you want to get the t-shirts, if you want to go back and listen to those early episodes without ads, you can sign up and do that. That is still available. It will be there. But if you do sign up on one of the tiers where you get to join us for patron chats, obviously that's not going to be a thing because we won't be doing episodes for a little while. So there are still some things you can get, but again, don't feel the need to do that right now. If you want to wait till we come back and then sign up later, you're welcome to do that as well. But we do have to thank those of you who have signed up and who have been here this entire time or have signed up for a period of time. Thank you so much to everybody who's contributed. And we have to shout out Nordic Mike, who's with us, who is our current space lord. Thanks for the support. Thanks for being here.
No problem.
Yeah. And it would still be helpful if you, if you've been enjoying the show, if you got into the show, even though we kind of put it on pause, but you discovered it after that time period. If you want to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, that would be extremely helpful. All of that is very useful. Leaving 5-star review on Spotify is also helpful. And who knows, maybe when we come back, we'll have a list of those and we'll read your words on a future episode. So we'll just have to see how that goes when we get there. But thanks again for all of the support, for all the kind words, for all the nice things that this community has done to help support the show. We really do appreciate it. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show. All right, so let's change the conversation a little bit. We've been speculating about the big questions in the lore, House Faerun, the Unity. We've been talking about the experiences of playing a DLC and coming back later and playing it from a different perspective and all of that. Let's talk about mechanics and details, things that you want to see modded into the game, some of the other small details. Maybe it has to do with crafting spaceships and space battles, or updates to how you explore planets, things like that. Are there some mechanical differences you'd like to see improved upon or added to the game in future DLCs or mods? Is there anything that really comes to mind? Who has any thoughts on this? Nova, Mike, you have any ideas?
You go first.
I'm thinking.
You got any ideas, Nova?
Like, it really hurts.
How does the space combat feel? Is there anything missing from space combat? Is there anything missing from the exploration on the planets that you wish was a little bit more fleshed out or different?
Overall combat, I think, is good. I mean, as far as like the decently close range and mid range weapons are fine. I find sniping to be a little off, but I mean, that's most Bethesda games. Overall, I would just say the biggest thing would be the shipbuilding. Like, I would like, you know, like we've said on multiple, or you guys said on multiple podcasts, seeing the interior, how things will look when they go together. You know, like, will this bulkhead, you know, stop this corridor from continuing?
Right.
Where you have, right. Like, because I've had a whole hull just completely sectioned off by two other ones, and I'm like, I can't get to this one room that I put inside my ship.
Right. Yeah. That kind of stuff is a little weird. Yeah. Yeah. I would love more options for shipbuilding. I would love, heck, whether it's modded in or officially added in DLC. I mean, it could be like an automaton kind of thing where you just have, like, all of a sudden you've got 300 new ship modules or whatever. Right. And you can really customize and come up with all sorts of different shapes. And you can do a lot of that now. Clearly there's a lot of cool stuff people have done with that, but to expand it, you know, maybe like wings or really cool looking modules that are slightly different shapes, or I don't know. I feel like there's a variety. I mean, like, how many different actual bridges, like the actual front with the, you know, the glass looking out? There's only a couple of them actually in the game. And if you don't like any of those styles, you're kind of stuck with that type of bridge. That's just what you got. So a little bit more variety around that stuff, I think, would be really cool. Nova, what do you think about space modules and stuff for ships and combat and all that?
So I haven't played the game in a fair bit of time, so I don't really remember much about modifying ships. I've done like once or twice to date. But what I do remember is it was a little bit frustrating getting through and actually finding what look good and what actually does work good, because like you guys said, sometimes one of the walls is just taken up by one of the walls that should have been functional is taken up by a corridor or entryway to the next area. So I'm like, well, I have to move this over here now, rearrange everything, get into the syntax that I want it to be. Mm-hmm. I think just adding just a lot of cosmetic stuff would be nice. I'm sure a lot of people would enjoy having same functionality of each of these having the same functionality, but you can change just like slight different things about them.
Mm-hmm. What about like skins and shaders? Like, what that if you too, wanted the outside of your ship? Like, what if you're going for pirate? You're like, I'm going to pirate, and I want the ship to look like it's been in a lot of battles. So you get a skin that has like burn marks and like little, you know, pieces of damage and stuff like that. And you can just apply it across the ship, and it just figures out. You can just tell, like, oh, this type of damage makes sense on this type mm-hmm. of module, and it just kind of wraps itself around your ship in a way that, like, you know, like damage on a wall would work. If you're in a building.
Like if you have like an auto turret in a position that maybe like as it rotated, it might have like scraped the paint a little bit.
Yeah.
Like a swoosh motion. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get like a real worn out look. Or what if you wanted something that was like, oh, the whole outside of this looks like it's made out of carbon fiber or made out of like,
or like solid gold, you know?
Yeah. Like yeah. you could make a golden ship.
You want to be flashy.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe you could buy that stuff. Maybe it's stuff you can like use your money for. Maybe it is modded in. Maybe it's part of a DLC. You know, like what if you build a ship and you're like, I'm UC all the way, but nobody can tell that this is a Vanguard ship because it just looks like regular parts. So yeah. I can color it, but no, I want it to like, I want logos. I want it to look pristine. I want it to match other ships in the fleet. And so here's a skin I could just apply to the outside.
Yeah. I think also just having the option of spray painting so you can actually write stuff on it would look really cool.
That would be cool too. What were there are some of those games, like those racing games where you can just kind of like design the outside of the car. You know mm-hmm. what I'm talking about? Like you can like manually draw things or put stickers or like that kind of stuff. You know, like what, Forza? Like War
Thunder.
Yeah, War Thunder. Yeah, that does it too. Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Would you go with, what kind of build would you go with if you could really customize the outside of your ship?
I'm really simple. I think it would just be a small functional ship that just gets in and gets out. I don't want a huge and flash, but I want one that is powerful enough to fight off anything that would attack me, but also not going to be so burdensome to get from one room to another. I don't want to spend 10 minutes navigating my ship just to go find the toilet.
sure. So a quick little like infiltrator. Would you paint it like black, try and make it like disappear in space, or even just put little stars on it so from a distance it just kind of camouflage with space
and they twinkle.
Yeah, a little twinkly
Christmas lights, like little Christmas lights on it.
Yeah. And on a scanner or something you'd clearly know it was a ship, but just like visually you'd be like, where is the ship? I don't see it. What about you, Mike? What kind of design would you go with?
I've built so many ships.
Yeah, so that's a big thing for you.
Yeah, I'm a big ship builder. Like, my brother-in-law, he's huge on outposts. Like, he has, like, the max number of outposts, and they're all, like, massive cities, pretty much.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
And, but me, I'm all about ship building. Like, I always, is it the Cabot? The one, cockpit that has the staircase for the two levels.
Okay. Yeah.
I use that for all my ship builds because I just like having no ladders or limited like ladders, like a secondary option in case, you know, people are blocking other ways. I can have like a other direction to go down and get to where I need to be. Yeah, like I'm all about like function with a little bit of, luxury too. You know, you gotta have the captain's quarter, obviously, but like the crew could just sleep wherever.
sure. So if you were to decorate the outside of that ship in a way that you can't currently, like it with paint or decals or combat wear, or making it look super pristine and like high class, what would you go with?
I mean because I have like the, like every once in a while build like a ship that's kind of more like pirate based. So it's like, you know, you've got that crimson red with a little bit of black in there to kind of try to, you know, be less noticeable. And like when the light hits it, you know, be less reflective. So I would make a ship that's more matte, you know, for that situation, you know, like a dark non-reflective paint.
Yeah.
You know, but if I had like a, like my big, you know, flashy, you know, kind of, oh, look at me, I'm the smuggler, but you know, you can't touch me because I have all the shielded cargo and all the devices that jam your signals and stuff. You know, that one I'd make, you know, trim it with gold, you know, because, you know, he has money, he's a smuggler.
Oh, nice. So
I'll just you know, have like little things here and there kind of just to make it look a little nicer.
Yeah, I mean, you could even extend this idea to the inside of the ship, like cabins and things like that, right?
Yeah, like have, like, you know, like the railings have coloring, you know, different type of like, you know, texture for the couches or beds,
or like real wood. Like you don't see wood in the ships, right? Everything's metal and plastic and stuff like that. But to have like actual wood railings on the stairways or on the staircases or actual wood shelves, and people would be like, where did you get the wood from? You know, like, oh, this is oak from Earth. And people would be like, what? Where did that come from? Well, it was reclaimed from some other thing, you know, like It cost
like Marco ship. I think it was Marco from the Freestar Collective mission. He had that. You had to go see him. He got into a ship, and it looked like a luxury hotel inside.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
The gold rails, the wood, the plants everywhere.
Right.
Like, oh, this is so nice. Why can't I build this on my ship?
Yeah, you can't build that. Like, that's not a thing.
You look at the outside. I'm like, I can get that. I can get that. I can get that. But why can't I have it look like that on the inside?
Right. What if there was DLC where you could actually steal ships like that?
I also hoping the same thing for space stations.
Like, you could steal a space station.
Yeah, like you come across abandoned spaces all the time. Sometimes there's like a couple robots on it, but then why not take it, make it into like a base for either pirates or like smugglers or something?
Or yourself, you know, like, basically, your colonies don't necessarily have to be on planets.
Or it could be like way stations for your colonies to transport goods or even off goods, you know, mm-hmm. So have like your own barter system there.
Yeah, or like a floating, like a floating store. Like, maybe mm-hmm. your outposts gather the materials, but then you've got like a space station, which is where other ships can dock to like trade with you and manage that, so they don't have to go all the way down to the planet. So that could be a thing. Yeah. Yeah. These are all some really cool ideas. I hope modders, I wish I was like, I don't have the experience to be a modder. It would take me a long time to get up to speed. But I really do appreciate some of the skills that people have in the community to take these kinds of ideas and make them real. It's very cool. So is there anything else in the game that you wish was there that you would kind of hoping for from the beginning, or after playing a bunch, you were like, you know, this would really make the games better, or the game better. There's only one Starfield so far. I say games cause I talk Fallout all the time and Elder Scrolls all the time. There's lots of those games, but it's like default.
I mean, you know, I wish they would do, or have been able to have travel within the solar system as like, you know, instead of just like a fast travel system. Mm-hmm. Like if I wanted to go from the planet to the moon, I should just be able to fly. Like, you know, it might take me like 10 minutes to literally fly that.
Or
like
10 hours, whoever knows. Right.
Yeah. But like just from the planet to the moon, like that's not that far. Like you could physically see it right there. The space station is in orbit too, but you got to fast travel to it.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, like if you land, come up to a planet and like the city you're trying to go to is on the other side, why not just fly around to the thing? You know, why can't you orbit a planet? You know, mm-hmm. like why can't you legit fly around the whole planet and actually see what it looks like, you know, transitioning from day to night?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is that that requires a lot more tech that they didn't want to have to focus on so that they could focus on other things. But I don't know. I mean, I don't work for them, so that's just my assumption.
That's the one thing I was kind of excited. I was like, oh, maybe it might be like this, but I was like, oh, it's not.
Sadly. Yeah. 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 I think it's also a smaller percentage of people who are interested in actually taking the time to do something like fly to the moon and let it sit there and just load, you know, cause it's like watching a loading screen. Cause not a whole lot's happening between Earth and the moon. You're just going to sit there for however many minutes or hours it takes to get from one place to another. So it's one of those things that's like a novelty thing that maybe somebody tries to do once, just say they did it and then never does it again because it just takes too much time. So I can see why it wasn't a high priority for them.
Well, I mean, as far as like doing like space battles and stuff, like I feel like being like, you don't have a lot of like overall space. I noticed like when you move, you really don't go very far.
Yeah.
In retrospect, like especially if you're in an open planet, there's no asteroids. You're basically just kind of moving around in a small ball, I feel like, and you're constantly getting hit. And it's like I find space battles to be a little bit difficult unless, you know, when you have multiple enemies, because you don't really, unless you're in an asteroid field, you don't have much to use your advantage. You can't like fly like around the planet real quick, you know, use your booster or do something like, you know, to go to the planet or something. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I just feel like the empty planets that have nothing around them is just, it just feels like a tiny little bubble that you're stuck in.
Yeah. I think that's a common problem with space combat games is that like in land combat games, you have all sorts of things that you can use to like occlude the other team's view or the enemy's view, or you can, you know, hide behind walls. You can climb things. There's verticality. But when you're in an open, empty, three-dimensional space, you're always just X distance from your enemy and you might just be traveling more in one direction than another. but there's not a whole lot you can do with that unless you add. So for example, like the Star Wars game that came out a number of years ago, that was basically like a reboot of like XCOM and TIE, or X-Wing and TIE Fighter. A lot of those levels had asteroids or the remains of like a wrecked space station, things that you could fly around and had to maneuver around. And yeah, those were set that way for that same exact reason, because it makes it feel like you're actually traveling from one place to another. You can use that to manage the combat. Like they gives you more options. But yeah, most of space is just kind of empty. So if you're gonna have to fight,
that's actually why most of my space battles fail, because I kind of like, I don't know how well I'm maneuvering, like when I'm to where the enemy is. Like I can't find a way to get something between us to kind of like, you know, shift position and get, you know, aim on him, or you know, or get enough around him where he's not able to hit me. I can like, you know, recharge my shields or, you know, repair a hull or something. You don't have that ability to kind of like see distance and all that. It's a lot harder.
Yeah,
you have open, wide open space.
Right. I think The Expanse, did you ever watch The Expanse? I think they did a really good job showing how space combat would be so deadly and fights wouldn't last very long at all. In that show, there aren't shields. There's just regular spacecraft, right? So if you shoot bullets in space and they hit another spacecraft, they pierce holes through the hull, right? And then all of a sudden, all the air on the craft just gets leaked out. And if you blow up a part of it, basically the whole thing just goes tumbling and flying in some other trajectory. Any amount of turning too fast and it's too many G's for the people on the ship to handle. So space combat is just extremely, extremely dangerous. And typically the first person to get your shots off with your missiles or tracking missiles or whatever wins the fight. There's not a whole lot you can do in order to stop that other than, you know, countermeasures and things like that. And if the countermeasures don't work, you get blown up. Fight done.
Yep.
You know, it's like, I mean, it's kind of like the Old West, and you know, like the bad guys mosey into town and the sheriff shows up and now they've got it like the standoff in the middle of the town. Whoever draws their gun first and shoots and lands a hit wins. Like that's it. Like there's not a whole lot else going on. So I can see how that is a major hurdle in trying to make something like that really fun and interesting. And I would love if they expanded on it in ways that made it more interesting and engaging. I don't know how, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of people have tried to figure out that specifically, and it's just not, it's not easy. It's not easy not to crack. So
sadly.
Yeah, sadly. All right. Well, we're getting close to the end of the show. Nova, did you have any other thoughts on any of this before we wrap it up?
I was kind of disappointed with the way that they designed a lot of their weapons in the game, and also like the kind of scant selection that you have. I wish there was more that looked realistic. Like there's a lot of it, because like what is that shotgun, the quadruple barrel shotgun or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember what it's called, but yeah.
No, I don't know, it was like the Outlaw or something like that. Like it was just like, look at it, just like, this would not work in real life. This is a very dumb design, and just playing with it just kind of breaks the immersion, for me at least, and with a lot of other guns does as well. Because like kind of like what you said, like the battles in space would be a lot more dangerous, especially if you're, you know, infantry grunt on the ground firing a rifle at someone else who is wearing a spacesuit. All of a sudden, you vent all their oxygen, but like the guns just kind of feel mushy to me. Okay. Maybe that's because I'm still low level, but they just don't have the oomph that you would expect something firing like a 6.5 like a 6.5 caliber rifle should have a lot more punch to it. I feel like, and it just doesn't really feel like it does a good job of that, because I think they spend a lot of time designing the game to look beautiful rather than thinking about how the game would function in the areas. But
yeah,
like, so maybe it's also because I'm a low level still. I haven't played much and I haven't leveled up quite enough to unlock what I need to get the guns to become a little more powerful and modify them.
Yeah, I will say, like, I have, like, most of my gun perks almost all maxed out. Like, I think the couple, like, shotgun and, like, long gun or something like that. But I mostly use, like, pistols for, like, everything. But, like, my pistols are so high level, like, I almost one-shot everyone I do. As long as I get a headshot or, like, well-centered on the chest, it's one hit and done for most people. Unless it's, like, a level above my current level of, like, I think I'm at 83 on my my big account.
Right.
Ready character.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some powerful guns. Yeah. I think you just haven't gotten to some of them. Like some of the mag weapons, like you get close to somebody with one of those, like with the multi lasers that stick out of the front of it. And it's just like, and they're just dead. You know,
it's
just
like the knee hauler. Like I have that one. It's like that. The six shots were one hit every single time.
Yeah. And you can obliterate people with some of those. Some of those. Now, I don't know that the mag guns are particularly realistic, but. Also, mag gun technology is also still kind of in its infancy in our reality. So who knows? Who knows what those might actually look like, you know, in a few hundred years. So, yeah, lots of cool stuff. Hopefully we get some really cool updates. I'm, you know, looking forward to it. I'm sure I know that they're working on stuff. I know that they have a team that is absolutely still working on the DLC updates, on you know implementation for modding and all of that stuff. So hopefully... Six, 9 months from now, when things are really starting to roll out again, we can come back and we can catch up with you guys and talk about like, hey, did you see they added this thing? What did you think? You know, and kind of see where it's going. I have a feeling that this is going to be one of those games that, heck, just like Fallout 76 is that Fallout's in the news. Everybody's jumping into 76. They just hit like a million concurrent players yesterday. If you had said that that would happen 5 years ago when the game came out, everybody would have laughed at you, right? They would have been like, are you kidding? This game is terrible because they launched it too early. It wasn't ready.
I played the beta. It was horrible.
Yeah. People did not like 76 when it came out. It had some problems. Starfield, on the other hand, not nearly the amount of problems, not nearly the amount of issues with actual, you know, crashing and things just not working right. They polished it up a lot more than they usually do for launch. But people kind of worked their way through the game. They moved on to other things. I think there's going to be some updates that are going to add things that cause people to want to return and to keep returning. And it seems that Bethesda more and more is focusing on the long play with these games and less about just getting people in for the entry and then just kind of leaving it at that. So I'm excited to see where it goes. And thank you for joining me, Nordic Mike and Nova and chat. Thank you all for being here. And thank you for the kind words. I see a lot of people popping in saying things like, hey, I found you from the Fall Lorecast or whatever. Thank you so much for being here. But we got to wrap up this episode and this season. We'll call it season one of the Starfield Lorecast. And so let's go back through. Nova, I know you got stuff going on. You got your YouTube channel. Anything you want to share?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel, which is Supernova, capital SUPERNZOVA. Look for the Golden Retriever icon. I also have a TikTok, which apparently exploded in popularity since the release of the Fallout TV show, because a couple of my videos, all my Power Armor videos are at like 100,000. I have one at 707,000 views, which is T65. I was like, I hardly post to it anymore, but I guess
maybe TikTok you should.
Maybe I should. So I started posting more TikToks because I just kind of forgot about it when I started making my YouTube shorts. So anyways, it's Supernova Gaming on TikTok with a underscore in between Nova and Gaming. So if you use TikTok, want to follow me there instead of on YouTube, I guess do that as well.
Or do both. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Do both? Yeah. Awesome. Well, congratulations.
That's you're right.
That's really cool. Yeah. Very cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for being here and being a part of this for as long as we've been doing it, basically. So,
I'll eventually catch up on all the episodes you release when I'm on another road trip.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to the Starfield Lorecast in like maybe 3 months or something like that.
You'll get back around to it. And I appreciate the support, even though you weren't listening.
And like, I always do that. Like I'll get fascinated with one thing. I'll neglect everything else that I have commitments to. And then when I'm on a road trip, I'll be there for 3 hours driving down to my grandparents or my friend or something like that. I'm like, listen to this podcast in a while. Let's put it on for the next 3 hours. Yeah. And do the same thing driving back.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I really fall into one thing for a while, and then I really fall into something else for a while, and then I go back. And so, yeah, I don't just do everything all the time. I definitely have my phases. So I totally understand.
I don't think anyone can do everything all the time, because then you just get burnt out trying to remember what was happening here, there, and the other thing.
Right. I think a lot of people just kind of have their one or two things, and they just kind of mostly stick to those. But you and I seem to jump between stuff a lot. So, yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for being here, Nova.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. And Nordic Mike, you got anything going on that you want to share? Anything you want to shout out into the world, or, you know, let people know about?
I mean, not really. I don't do much. I do have a Twitch. This is Nordic Mike. I haven't done much of anything on it recently, but I eventually want to get back into Valheim and Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, cool.
Hopefully for the new Dune MMO, I'll be streaming that, hopefully when that releases.
Awesome.
But other than that, I mean, I eventually will want to start up a YouTube channel doing ship builds on Starfield. Because that's like the one thing I love to do, and I just want to like show people like all the different crazy things you can do with shipbuilding. And if they sort of release more stuff, that would be something I'm definitely gonna dive into.
Hey, you never know. I am probably a good example of doing a thing and keeping with it and specializing in a very focused part of that thing, so that when the community really starts to engage with that thing, all of a sudden everybody finds your stuff. Just like Nova with his TikTok videos about Fallout, like you get a certain amount of interest and all of a sudden something blows up and then you get a lot of interest. Same thing happened with the Fallout Lorecast. Same thing happened with the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. I started that and it started ramping up pretty good, and then Rings of Power dropped. And then lots of people discovered it because I was in the right place at the right time. You could totally do that with Starship builds for Starfield. You just commit to getting videos up and putting stuff up there that's useful for people. And then chances are the next time the DLC comes out and people are all buzzing about this or that, or maybe they do a Starship DLC and you're now the Starship guy. And so everybody's looking to you for updates on all the cool new Starship stuff. And now you've got a legitimate YouTube channel that's doing Starship builds. You know, like, it's totally possible. So, you know, especially like and utilize the thing that you love. Like, I'm big on the lore and the stories and the characters and all of that. But if you're big on Starships, use that to your advantage, because there are a lot of people who will not put the time you put in to discover all those nuances.
Oh, yeah.
So, good luck with that. And thanks for being here. Chat, thank you for joining us. We're wrapping up this episode. Thanks for being here. And I guess I would say, hey, this is what we're doing next week, but I don't know what we're doing on the next episode. We're taking a big long break, and we'll be back when there's new stuff to talk about. So don't go away. Don't delete the feed from your podcatcher or anything like that. We'll be back in the future. And I look forward to talking to you again as soon as that happens. Thanks for being here, everybody. All right, we'll see you later. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope that you enjoyed this show.
Did you know that parodies are copyright protected?
Tell a friend and review
on iTunes
or other services.
Dave and Tom, excited for Starfield. Let's all speculate and wear no shoes.
Hey, why aren't we wearing any shoes?
Because shoes rhymes with iTunes, and that's the best I could think of.